Education Week has put out its annual Quality Count Survey for 2018, assessing public school systems across the country, and Arizona does not fare well. Overall, Arizona gets a D+. That's lower than the national score of a C. The survey looks at three broad categories: chance for success, school finance, and K-12 achievement. Within those three umbrella categories are 39 total indicators. Sterling Lloyd is assistant director of the Education Week Research Center and worked on the survey. And Sterling, given that different states do things differently, how apples to apples a comparison are you really able to do here?
Well, we use federal data to try to ensure that we're using comparable indicators across the nation. But it is true that every state has a slightly different education system. It will have different policies, different populations, different types of students. And so we understand that, you know, there's a limit to what can be measured, but we try to use the indicators that really give us a valid comparison across the 50 states and the District of Columbia.
So nationwide, the national score was a 74.5 out of 100, giving it a C. How does that compare to where the nation as a whole has been in the recent past?
The nation's score of 74.5 is about the same as last year, as opposed to 74.2. Nationally, high school graduation and post-secondary participation rates are up, so that's good. But schools continue to struggle with wide achievement and funding gaps. And we've really seen mediocre performance throughout the history of Quality Counts. And this is the 22nd annual report card that we've issued.
I want to ask specifically about Arizona, which got a D+, a 68.7. And it seems as though that was in large part due to the school finance category, which got a D-, basically a 62%. Is that, in your mind, just a matter of Arizona schools are not funded to the level that they need to be?
When we look at the school finance category, Arizona does receive its lowest grade there, a D-. It ranks 46th in the nation in this area, which measures school spending along with equity and the distribution of funding. And what really stands out is that Arizona finishes next to last for per-pupil spending, suggesting that school funding is an area for policymakers to focus on going forward, and that's really the key factor.
Now, people here who are defenders of the public school system and the policies that fund it will say that there are all sorts of different ways to measure school funding. How are you sort of measuring Arizona school funding, and sort of what gives it the grade that you have given it?
Well, we try to make sure that we're ensuring an apples-to-apples comparison across the country. So we adjust school spending figures for regional cost differences just to make sure that we're, you know, comparing things in a way that's fair.
In terms of the chance for success category, Arizona gets a C in that category. What does that mean for Arizona public school students?
Well, across the three graded categories in the report, Arizona does receive its best mark, a C, in chance for success, which evaluates the overall environment for education in the state. And in that category, Arizona fares pretty well on some measures, such as kindergarten enrollment, where it ranks 17th. But it struggles on others, such as fourth grade reading, where it ranks 42nd. What we're doing there is really trying to look at not only the school system, but also the factors that affect it outside the school system, the other sectors, such as the economy and the environment for young children to get off to a good start.
In terms of the third category, the K-12 achievement, that was a C-, 70.7%. I assume that that just means that Arizona public school students aren't achieving as well as they could be, or aren't achieving as well as some of the other states in the country students are?
Well, in K-12 achievement, Arizona is right around the national average. The state and the nation both receive a C-. Arizona struggles with respect to reading scores of its fourth graders, as I mentioned. And that's an area of concern given the importance of early reading skills to a student's future. The state fares better in eighth grade math, where it ranks 21st nationally. And so it's a bit of a mixed bag here.
When you look at the trajectory that Arizona is on, you mentioned you've been doing this for a number of years now. Where has Arizona been? I mean, is the state, yes, it's not a great score this year, but is it getting better? Is it sort of staying where it has been? I mean, how does it compare to where it's been in the past?
Well, Arizona received a D+ this year. The state also received a D+ a year ago. We don't see a lot of change in its results. There's stability there. There's a lot of room for improvement. In some areas where the state has been strong, we see continued strength. And so that's, you know, something that's heartening to see the stability on the indicators on which the state fares well. But, of course, the fact that overall it receives a relatively low grade is a concern, and the fact that we haven't seen improvement over time is something for the state's policymakers to really ponder and to consider as far as making adjustments in policies going forward.
Sterling Lloyd is Assistant Director of the Education Week Research Center and worked on the group's Quality Counts 2018 report. Nationwide, Massachusetts had the top overall score, a B+. Among Arizona's neighbors, scores range from a C- for California and Utah to a D for Nevada and New Mexico. For more perspective on the survey, I'm joined by State Representative Paul Boyer. The Phoenix Republican chairs the House Education Committee. And Representative Boyer, first off, what's your general takeaway from this report?
Well, I think they're focused more on inputs rather than outputs. I really think we ought to focus on how are students doing, and the best indicator, as you know, is the NAEP scores, which is the gold standard for the nation's report card. And on every indication, we are killing it here in Arizona. I mean, we've made gains where we're neck and neck with Maryland, Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, all of these high-spending states.
We should mention NAEP is a standardized test, as you said, sort of consider the nation's report card. So do you think that they just weren't looking in the right places or looking at the right criteria in terms of assessing a grade?
Well, they're looking at additional criteria that I wouldn't have included. I mean, for example, they're looking at parental literacy rates, and we're a border state. I mean, we're not going to be on the same level with an East Coast or even a northern state in that regard. They're looking at parental education attainment. I mean, in other words, they're looking at things that might be beneficial from a social perspective, but from an education output perspective, like I said, we're making gains that no other state is seeing right now.
There were some of the output indicators that they looked at where Arizona wasn't doing so well. There were some that they referenced that Arizona was doing well, but especially in some of the reading and some of the math scores, it seemed like Arizona was lagging a bit. And that seems kind of consistent with what we've seen in terms of scores on the AZ Merit Test, the state standardized test. Is that an area that you think that Arizona and Arizona's students still have a little ways to go on?
Sure. I mean, we're not, of course, satisfied with where we are, but I will say this. Our 2016 AZ Merit, our state standardized test scores, we did better than 2015, and 17 did better than 16. In other words, we're moving along the right trajectory. We're never satisfied, but we're in the right direction.
One of the other categories was school funding, which is a seemingly a constant topic of conversation here in Arizona, and the state did not do well in that on this survey. Do you think that what they found was fair, was accurate? Do you agree, disagree?
Well, I think it was incomplete. For example, as you know, we passed Proposition 123, the voters did, and that provides $3.6 billion of new dollars into the public education system over 10 years. So that I don't believe that's included in their scorecard. And also, I mean, you have to remember perspective. I mean, we spend 43%, almost 43% of all state spending at the state legislature we spend on K-12 education.
Even still, though, I mean, the governor has talked about wanting to do more, even beyond what he's able to propose in this year's budget. It seems as though there are a lot of folks in education who would like to see more funding. It's pretty common for when these reports come out that Arizona, in terms of per pupil funding, is toward the bottom of the pack. Is this a significant problem, do you think, that the state has to deal with, even if maybe we're not quite as bad as this particular survey says we are?
Well, again, I think we need to focus on some of the challenges that Arizona faces. For example, we're a growth state, so we're picking up a congressional seat in 2020. You've got some of the upper states that Education Week would consider as doing well. They're losing seats. New York, Pennsylvania, California, whereas we're gaining. And that also means we have unique challenges because we're a growth state and we have more, you know, we're constantly getting new students. But back to the governor's budget, I'm ecstatic to see what the governor has put out there, and I'm fully supportive of what the new spending that he has for education.
We have talked about Prop 301 in the past. That's the 0.6 cent, a sales tax that funds education, which will be up for renewal in a couple of years. I know that one of your colleagues has put out a bill that would extend it this year. Do you think that has any chance of passing this year? I mean, do you think that Prop 301 is something that you and your colleagues will be taking up this year at all?
Well, what leadership has indicated publicly, I haven't spoken with them personally, but what they've indicated is that 2020 is probably the best year to do it because it's an election, it's a presidential election. In other words, there's more turnout, there's more voters. And if it did happen to fail in 2018, and as you know, the last one that got put on the ballot did fail 2-1. So there's a concern that if it fails in 18, it would be harder to get it passed in 2020.
Is there a danger in waiting till 2020, though, given that the tax expires in 2021? I mean, if it fails in 2020, it seems like that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, so, but we need all the stakeholders on board. And I haven't been involved in those discussions. My concern is, again, if it did fail in 18, then it doesn't bode well for 2020.
All right. State Representative Paul Boyer chairs the House Education Committee. Representative Boyer, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.